Hey, it's Scott Hanselman. It's Azure Friday. I'm here with Mark Rusinovich with the Azure team, and I'm standing on a box because I'm short. I just want to point this out.
Oh, you're not short.
Well, this is the problem. I am of average height.
I thought you said above average.
I am, well, I was above average height. I lost an inch. I lost an inch. I turned 40 and I dropped a full inch. So at this point, I'm waiting to just become a 5'8-year-old. 5'8", stooped over, but yeah. So anyway, 5'10 and 3 quarters is no longer average height. How are you, sir?
I'm doing good, thanks.
All right. I wanted to do a series of facts, frequently asked questions with you, because there's just stuff I don't quite understand.
Mm-hmm.
I hear all these different PMs from all over Azure talking about how, in storage, things are in three different places, and websites have 99% uptime, and virtual machines are dropping like flies, but you never know about it. How does Azure heal?
Yeah.
And we don't need to see it.
That's a great question. In fact, we call the process that virtual machine of recovering a virtual machine that's on a server that's failed service healing.
Mm.
Because we've got cloud services, and that's what virtual machines are part of, this container called a cloud service. And there's a number of health protocols that the Fabric Controller, which is the kernel of the cloud operating system that we call Azure, mm-hmm. implements to keep track of the state of virtual machines as well as the code that runs within them.
Okay.
So a lot of people that have approached Azure have done so from the platform as a service perspective, so they've created web or worker roles.
Right.
And when you create a web or worker role, you specify how many instances you want because those are both scalable types of resources. So you can say, I want 10. And then when you make that deployment or you say, I want 10 now, the Fabric Controller will go and find servers and allocate VMs on them and then stick your code in those VMs and start it up.
Mm-hmm.
So there's various levels of health. Like I said, there's the health of your code inside that VM.
Right.
There's the health of the inside of the VM, and then there's the health of the server underneath the VM.
Okay.
And the Fabric Controller is doing ping kind of health probe protocols across all of those.
Mm-hmm.
There's also the health of your endpoint, if you've got a web role, for example, sitting on an input endpoint talking out to the outside world, the load balancer is also probing that to see if it's healthy. So there's a bunch of different ways to detect the state and then different recovery policies at place at different places in the system. For the load balancer, it's going to sit and probe that endpoint, and it by default it does so every 15 seconds. And if you miss two, then it says, "Oh, this VM is unhealthy. I'm not going to forward new connections to this VM," mm-hmm. and it'll start routing those connections to the other VMs that are healthy. Then, if there's an agent inside of these PaaS VMs that we call the guest agent, and that is doing a probe every 15 seconds into your role DLL and asking if it's healthy.
Mm-hmm.
And if it stops responding to that after a couple misses of that, then it's going to recycle the role. So it's going to shut down the worker host mm-hmm. process and restart it to try to recover that.
That's pretty aggressive, because every 15 seconds. And you're describing all of these different things that are happening at multiple layers often.
Yeah. Well, you want to detect, one of the principles in the cloud for surviving failures and being resilient is to have a very short mean time to detect and a very short mean time to recover. So that's mm-hmm. what we talk about all the time. What's the MTTR, what's the MTDD mm-hmm. of the system? And if you've got a very long polling interval, then it's going to take you a lot longer to detect something's gone wrong. And typically when something goes wrong, if you've got other systems that are dependent on that one that's starting to fail, then the problem can cascade. If you let it go on too long, the amount of damage caused can grow. So it's important to try to detect those things as quickly as possible. And also your reduced capacity, too. When one of these things goes offline,
mm-hmm.
then if you've scaled out based on a certain workload and one of these things goes bad and you're not healing it quickly, you're at degraded capacity, and that also backs up your ability to service client requests in a timely manner. Things could start timing out.
Mm-hmm.
So that's all reasons why you want to recover quickly. So that's kind of the health inside the VM, the health status inside the VM. Then there's the health of, the customer's code, the application code inside the VM. And then there's the Fabric Controller trying to keep track of whether the VM is actually in a good state or not as a whole. So, is the inside of the VM in a good state.
What that means, kind of unpeeling the onion here, right?
That's right. Yeah, okay. We're going further out.
Further out.
And sorry about that. The code inside the VM, because it's a VM, you can do anything you want to in it. You can run with admin rights in there. You can stick device drivers in there. Even there's no
right. You really can do anything.
You can do anything. You can crash the VM. You can hang the VM. And we're assuming that you don't want to do those things. So we're probing the guest agent from the host agent. There's an agent that sits in on the server inside the host OS because it's virtualized.
Right.
And there's this what we call the wire protocol, mm-hmm. where the host agent's talking into the guest agent over this wire protocol and pinging it every 15 seconds. If that thing goes unresponsive for 10 minutes, and this is where we are less aggressive, because you could just be, your VM is incredibly busy serving client requests or doing processing, and that's starving the guest agent from being able to respond. We want to be a little bit conservative here. So we wait for 10 minutes, and if that thing stops responding, then we recycle the VM. So we'll shut down the VM and then start it up again with a fresh state. So these PaaS roles, these PaaS VMs, worker and web role, they're what we call stateless VMs. Mm-hmm. So you have to assume that that any persistent state that they write to their local storage can be lost. Now, in this case of a recycle, you're probably not going to lose it, because the VM will be recreated on the same server that it was running on. Mm-hmm. But we will flatten the host OS. We'll leave your temporary disk. So if you take a look at the VM, what we're talking about is this guest agent in here. Mm-hmm. And this is, all right, it's too small.
Can we zoom in on that?
Yeah.
I don't know if this,
We're
learning how to do this. Let's try that. Let's make your...
A little finer point.
Let's use a pencil?
Yeah, that'd be good.
Is that possible? Let's try a black pencil.
All right.
See if this works.
Are you
still zoomed in?
Yeah.
Maybe fresh paint wasn't our best call. What's it?
You got to try something new, right?
Yeah. Well, I've never used fresh paint, so I'm excited to... You realize that this whole thing is going to become a treatise on fresh paint now.
Yeah. All right. So there's the guest agent in here. You can kind of see that. And then there's the host over here, which is where Hyper-V and the Virtual Machine Manager services run. And there's a host agent in here, and it's talking through that heartbeat. Wow, that's really pretty.
That is just the worst thing I've ever seen.
Maybe we shouldn't do pictures.
I don't know.
Their imagination's probably working better than
these. I think it's probably
things.
True.
All right. So
it was fun to think about using fresh paint, though.
It was.
Yeah, sorry.
So
dude.
Where was I going here?
So you're doing all these health checks, though.
Yeah.
But one of the things that concerned me, though, is you said, and then it'll shut the virtual machine down and flatten it. And that makes me wonder, though, at a macro level, remembering that the only thing that matters in the planet is my code.
Yeah.
Not my neighbors, not Azure's profitability, not the West U.S. data center. I don't care about any of that.
Yeah.
My three customers matter.
Right.
You're going to flatten a VM, but do we ever really learn why it got sick? We're just going to shoot it in the head and reboot it and hope it works out.
Well, ideally, you've got monitoring spewing out of there so that when something goes wrong, you can go and diagnose it later. The kind of another principle of gliding cloud scale and cloud development is to try to avoid interactive debugging, to try to have enough diagnostics coming out where you can go look at the thing post problem and figure out what's happened.
Right.
Because if you're in this case of something's failed and I need to go manually, stop things where they are and debug it, you're talking mean time to recover that starts to explode because you got humans in there trying to do analysis. So really, it's let's get back into a working situation and then go try to figure out what happened.
But so then at some point at a macro level, there's like a Dr. Watson of the Azure looking at 93% of things that go wrong are this thing. And then you look at those larger problems?
That's right. I mean, what we, in our own services, and customers can do this, is use the Windows Azure Diagnostics Agent to collect event logs, collect dump files, collect perf counters, and spew that stuff out to Windows Azure Storage, and then go look at that post-mortem. So we've covered the code inside the VM, then the VM going faulty and getting recovered. Now, the next kind of layer in the onion is the server going bad. And so what's monitoring the servers is their fabric controller, which is the brain of the cloud operating system, is talking to the host agents and probing them to see if they're healthy.
Okay.
And again, there's a similar kind of time-up protocol of if that thing goes unresponsive for a certain amount of time, then the fabric controller deems that server to have failed.
Mm-hmm. And the fabric controller, that's kind of like in Tron. That's like the MCP, right?
That's right.
And is there just one?
So we've got organization. Talking about cloud principles here. One of our cloud principles is also to partition. And the reason that we partition, there's two reasons actually that partitioning is good. One is scalability. So if you can partition your workload, you can scale out instead of scale up.
Mm-hmm.
And the other one is reducing a blast radius.
You literally call it that, the blast radius?
Yeah, basically.
That's kind of
that's
more
what I call it anyway.
That's a pretty awesome name, actually.
Try to contain the blaster. So if controller fails, that it won't bring down everything. So you can imagine one extreme, we've got a data center and you'd have one fabric controller managing the whole data center, but if that fabric controller fails, everything in that data center fails.
Ah.
Versus partitioning the data center into what we call clusters or stamps, having fabric controllers per cluster or stamp, and if that fabric controller fails, it's affecting only the stuff running in its stamp.
Mm-hmm. And we hear about things like cascading failures. Is that what we think about when we have a blast radius? Like something's bad has happened and it's getting worse and you want to contain that as quickly as you can?
Kind of. I think blast radius, what that really describes more is a case where the recovery process actually is making things worse.
Oh, wow.
So if you, some people watching might remember we had a leap day incident a couple years ago.
Yeah.
And that case, when leap day happened, we went through the same kind of detection mechanisms I was just talking about. The leap day problem came because of a time calculation problem and certs not being valid, self-generated certs not being valid on leap day, which prevented the guest agent from even establishing a secure channel to the host agent.
Oh, right.
And so I remember I was just talking about the host agent trying to ping the guest agent. Well, the host agent on the deployment of a new VM, the guest agent would generate the cert, it would be a bad cert, the host agent wouldn't be able to talk to the host agent, and the host agent would say, oh, something's wrong with the VM, I can't talk to my guest agent. So I have to go to the next level of recovery, and that is service heal. What service healing does, which I'm getting to next, is when it retries, it retries three times to start the guest date, the VM, and if it fails, repaves and restarts, like we've said.
Mm-hmm.
In this case, every time it started, the cert was bad, so it couldn't talk to the host agent.
Mm-hmm.
So the host agent, after three tries, says, something must be wrong with this server, because it's unlikely that it's a software failure this early in the process that has gotten out into production this way.
So it assumed, even though it was a software problem, it's like, clearly the hard drive's bad, or the motherboard's bad,
it's
physical.
Or RAM is bad,
that's
causing this repeated failure.
Okay.
So I'm going to declare the server as bad. And this is where service healing comes in.
And it marks a big X over
it
somewhere.
Says, this server,
we call it
human investigate, which is like something's wrong with the server. Somebody needs to go take a look at it.
All right.
But we're going to pull that out of rotation.
Okay.
And when we decide that a server's bad, and this is kind of the automated virtual machine recovery that we've got in place, where people say, servers go bad and you don't notice.
Yeah.
Well, you might notice what happens here. The server goes bad. We have to respawn those VMs on another healthy server.
Oh.
So that's what we call it healing. We're healing those virtual machines. We're healing your role. Even if it's an IaaS VM, we're going to start it on another server. So we go find another server. First step of this healing process is to completely cut off the VMs that we're running, because we don't want you to look to have two VMs that think that the same VM operating at the same time, so that there's this complex stop that VM from being able to talk to the outside world.
Mm-hmm.
It's so your twin can't go running around.
It's a quarantine.
Yeah, it's quarantine. So we cut off its network in whatever way we can. If that means shutting off the server, that means killing the port on the Tor so that it can't talk out, we follow steps of escalation to cut the guy off. And then we start the VM on the other server.
Hmm.
Now, in the leap day case, I talked about cascading failures.
Right.
Remember I said that this cert is created at the time of VM is deployed.
Mm.
Well, in service healing, we're deploying a new VM. So what would happen on this healthy server that hasn't HI'd yet, the VM starts up, Guest agent tries to create a cert, fails. Host agent never hears from it, retries it three times, and then says, oh, this server is bad, too.
Dead on arrival.
Yeah. So the cascade was this this one VM that was trying to get provisioned starts to spread through the fabric controller, through all the servers. And left unchecked would have just spread through the whole system and hit every server eventually. So this is why, again, another cloud principle is to have safety breaks. When you have recovery mechanisms to say, I don't expect this recovery mechanism to take effect with this more than n number of times within some bounded time period. Mm-hmm. Because otherwise, things are really gotten bad.
And it's kind of multiplicative back off.
That's right.
Yeah.
And so let's put in a safety break and set an alarm so that humans get involved because the system's gone haywire. Something's really bad and we need to stop
it. See, as a parent of young boys, we like, we'll send them all up, you know, like neighbor kids come over, they all go up. And then when there's a certain amount of screaming, it's like, we're going to investigate.
That's right.
Like there's an acceptable amount of screaming from the upstairs room, but once it reaches a certain
level. It's exactly that same thing. There's a constant background of service healing going on, but when we have too much of it, we need to get involved to make sure that it's not some problem like leap day. And actually,
awesome.
This break saved us from really having leap day be much worse than it was. So that's, anyway, that's the short answer to your question about healing. And
How deep does this onion go as we just close up?
So
here?
We
the VM guest, the host, physical server, is this like the rack or what we call the stamp?
Stamp.
Stamp, and the stamp is like, is that the container?
No, we don't actually use containers in Azure today.
Really? I thought that you guys had magical containers for the computers.
Yeah, there are certain Microsoft properties that do use containers. Mm-hmm. Azure doesn't use containers.
So a
stamp is an arbitrary collection of servers, racks.
It's literally arbitrary.
Yeah, literally arbitrary.
And then,
they don't have to be next to each other in the data center, even. They can be.
When I select West US,
I'm
not even really picking a data center yet. I mean, there could be multiple data centers.
That's right, there could be.
So a stamp. There are n number of stamps in a data center.
Right.
And then there are n number of data centers within a data center region.
Correct.
Interesting. All right. We're peeling back the onion, talking about healing Azure with Mark Rusinovich here on Azure Friday.